First off, Terry, morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Special shout out this morning to my daughter-in-law, Elena, and her office, who's listening live online this morning.
Good. Listening online. We were just talking about how we get some of our online services back up after a little service disruption last week. So, did you just get a promotion? Assignment?
I'm the minority spokesperson for Judiciary Criminal. It is, I don't know if there's been a Republican woman as the minority spokesperson for that committee before, so it's an honor to serve on the committee where I've been for 2 years, but to be the minority spokesperson is a real honor, and it's going to be good for us down here because we have a lot of prisons here.
And this is a hot subject right now, prison reform?
I believe that, prison reform is a hot subject, and then, of course, all of these anti-gun bills will probably be coming through that that committee as well. So I'm kind of glad to be there to try to stop some of the madness.
We don't know what this is yet fully, but when I look at the governor's schedule for today at 10 a.m., he'll be appearing at the Safer Foundation in Chicago to take executive action establishing a new criminal justice reform initiative.
I don't know what that is either. I'm actually very fond of the Safer Foundation and what they do. It's they do something real similar to what the state did when we had all the work release centers open. They get people back on the right track. So those who are newly paroled, they teach them some job skills and life skills. They even provide them a place to live for a short time. So it's kind of a halfway house on steroids.
You know, I have been getting a lot of mail about the minimum wage increase. Let me just read you a portion of one that I just received in the last couple of moments. The current minimum wage plan will devastate Southern Illinois. Minimum wage should be affected based on cost of living. In Chicago, you might need $15 an hour to have basic living at 40 hours a week. In Southern Illinois, that same effect can happen at $9 as the cost of living is so much lower. Further, minimum wage affects everything above it. So first, products. Everything is priced based on a formula, taking in materials, production, transportation, and labor. When you raise the cost of any one of those, there is a corresponding raise in the price of that item. I mean, these are the things that people are talking about right now, and they are deeply concerned. Business owners are wondering how they're going to find a path forward.
So as a former small business owner with a restaurant, one of our biggest concerns was workers' comp and Social Security costs. And when you factor in the increase, anytime you increase pay, you're also going to increase the cost of workers' comp insurance, of your Social Security, and all of the peripheral things that really are your high-cost items. I just saw this morning, basically, what we're going to have as an option is people can raise their prices, which then eats into your own cost of living. So you, by raising the minimum wage as fast as it's going to be raised, by the large amount that it's going to be raised, you could actually take the person right now who's making $16 or $17 an hour that took them years to get there, and you've decreased their ability now to make it because everything, all the prices are going to go up. I could see milk is at $6 a gallon.
I know somebody, a woman posted online, this wipes out 17 years of me working hard.
Oh, my son was a good example. You know, he works for a local lumber company. It's taken him 6 years to get to $14 an hour. He'll go to 15, but you know, the guy coming in the door is going to go to 15. So what ends up happening is those folks that have worked for a long time to get the raise, they just won't get raises anymore for a while. So I understand what the folks who are pushing this are trying to do, but there are so many unintended consequences that come with a raise of that amount. And again, remember that we have 108 legislators who actually have offices or pick up a piece of Chicago, and almost every law that's getting passed right now is Chicago-centric. I'm not one of those that this just hates the city of Chicago. I really love to go visit the city, but we can't craft every bill in this state by what the city of Chicago needs and to, I'm sorry, I almost cursed for a minute.
I saw that.
And far, far away for all of those other folks that live in other parts of the state.
House Resolution 0101, just makes Chicago its 51st state. You saw that. It's a House resolution.
You know, so at our town hall the other night, someone talked to me about that. I'm hesitant to make a 51st state.
Yeah.
This guy was kind of saying he didn't want to mess up the flag with 50, you know, with another star.
Yeah.
But he did tell me that years ago that there was a conversation that included Senator Luchtefeld about having the District of Chicago. Because, you know, having a new state would also allow them to have two more senators,
right,
and a congressman, and we don't really want that to happen.
Yeah. What are the prospects of having some effect on this? It's interesting because every time I talk to someone, a new idea occurs to me, or I learn something new. And I was talking to the CEO of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, and we were talking about the rate of increase, January 1, then July 1st, then January 1 of 20. He says, we'd be doing three increases in a year and a day.
Yeah, that's correct. And there's a lot of conversation about whether the minimum wage needs to go up. And I would agree it probably does need to go up. We've seen that even with some of the big box stores like Walmart and Target.
But ours is higher than Missouri. It's higher than Kentucky. It's higher than Indiana already.
It is. But shortly, Missouri is going to go over us for a short time. And
in St. Louis, they were talking about just a St. Louis minimum
wage. Right. But then again, you have the same dilemma there in Missouri. So you have the Kansas City and you have St. Louis that are driving the conversation for the whole rest of the state, which is very rural, just like Illinois is. So should it go up? Maybe it should go up. I mean, there are lots of conversations that say we could understand $10 or $11, but $15 and over a six-year period, and why are we not tying it to inflation? And again, remember that minimum wage was not designed to be what your, that's not supposed to be your living wage. It's supposed to be your starting wage. So what ends up happening is, again, I'll use someone that I'm very close to who said, why would I work for $15 an hour at this particular person has a really hard physical job when I can go to McDonald's and make $15 an hour? Well, that pushing that a little bit farther, you're then talking about the places where really often those with developmental disabilities are hired. And so if you got these folks, nurses or whoever, why would you go to school and run up the debt that is run up when you go to school if as a nurse you're going to make $22 or you can make $15 working at McDonald's?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's interesting. A letter I received from a listener says the local McDonald's have already begun putting in a digital order system for inside orders. This means with no real effort, tomorrow they can cut their front staff to two people, one for drive-thru and one for front assistance. This will slow down food service for everyone. Slower food service, they can cut back their staff. Right? But
yeah.
There's somebody thinking about this now because you talked about, I'd rather work at McDonald's. The McDonald's jobs may not be there.
Perfect example, because I was just reading in Politico, Illinois, where McDonald's is ramping up. They had a deadline. I don't remember now what the deadline was to as they're remodeling all of these new restaurants,
right,
to actually move to kiosks. They're bumping that up by a couple of years. If you go to the Panera in Mount Vernon, they already have kiosks in place at the new Panera there. So I know that it's the wave of the future, but I want to see a face. I want to hear a voice. I want to actually talk to someone when I'm placing my order. I get really frustrated at Walmart.
Yeah.
When you go in and there's 50 lines and one line is open and the only thing left to you is to go to the self-check. So, yeah, that is the direction that we're moving. And I would say to folks, man, if you want to make sure you want to guarantee a job in the future, better go to electronics or robotics because that's the direction we're going.
What are the prospects of the Republicans being able to change this law to make it more acceptable to people in small businesses in rural Illinois?
Well, one of the goals of our recent town hall in Marion was to make sure that we send a message to Springfield and to Chicago that just because Governor Pritzker won by a lot, he still only won five counties. So he did not get a mandate all over the state. And by having a town hall that had 500 or close to 500 people there, we were able last week to go back to Springfield and say, you better start listening to people. So we're in a super minority right now, and our voices are not as loud as they would be, obviously, if we had the majority. But when we're able to bring people together and if we had 350 questionnaires returned, 90% plus said they did not want the minimum wage raised. 90% plus. And that's a message that certainly was resonating throughout Springfield last week.
And, you know, when you talk about this 90% saying no, when it comes to gun legislation, that has gotten a lot of attention as well. I think I lost count at maybe five pieces of legislation concerning guns.
Yeah, I think I lost count at about 11.
Oh, so there's more.
Because there's some peripheral ones. But, you know, we're working to get enough attention on, like, for instance, I can't remember the number now. I think it's the rep is Didek, he's a new guy, that says that it mandates state police to look at your social media site to determine whether or not you can get a FOID card or whether they will take away your FOID card. So that's a violation of the First, Second, and Fourth Amendment. So, you know, there are some real crazy ones.
And you have to look into if you use a different name, different handles on different social media sites. A lot of this, you've got that. You've got the assault rifle. You've got the executive order when it comes to gun stores. You have limitations on how many, what the size of a magazine. I think it's five. They're, anything over five is an assault rifle. I mean, their use of the word assault rifle is, you know.
Well, there's a whole lot more in there, too, because it isn't just rifles. There are some handguns that are in there as well. There's also the mechanism that you use to for semi-automatic shotguns. It's a reel, and I know my NRA friends are going to be mad at me because I don't remember the name of what the reel is. But it basically will allow you to shoot, I think it's 30-some-odd times.
I've seen this. You slide it in the trigger guard. It's egg-shaped. You take the handle, and it takes that egg shape, spins it inside, and pulls the trigger as fast as you can turn the handle on the exterior.
So there's a lot of components to that particular bill. There just is the problem is everyone is talking about, and you know, the last two times I've been on the show, I was talking about working together in a bipartisan way. But bipartisan right now doesn't seem to mean including the voices of the minority.
Well, Terry, whenever I think about this, you know, there's a new sheriff in town, and I think the slogan has gone from yes, we can to yes, we will, and you can't stop us.
Yeah, it's like we're going to choke this down your throat. And so, in Governor Pritzker's last three speeches that I heard, he talks about the entire state and then stops his conversation to include Peoria and the Metro East. And his visits lately have not gone south of the Metro East. Listen, there's three more hours to this state below the Metro East. And I don't know how we get that message through to Governor Pritzker other than through interviews like this.
Well, I can tell you that I reached out to them on that very subject and spoke with the deputy governor. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, we're in Southern Illinois. We're in Belleville. I said, Bubba, that ain't Southern Illinois.
That's offensive to say that the Metro East is Southern Illinois. It's not just offensive to us. It's offensive to them. They don't want to be called Southern Illinois. You know, they've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder as well. And listen, he needs to come down here and meet some real folks. How about if he stops into Mary Lou's and talks to some of the folks in there? Because I guarantee you, they'll give him an earful about the minimum wage issue.
So this is the hardest question that I've ever asked you. And I still, to this moment, I've been working on how to ask this question and don't know how.
Well, just ask.
I've literally walked up to the brink of the cliff without the vocabulary in the question. So, supermajority, the governor, all the state capitol, all the capitol offices, all right, constitutional officers, I should say. There's nothing you can do to stop them. They want it, they're going to get it. Pritzker wants, governor wants it, he's going to get it. These gun legislations, nothing there to stop them. In fact, everything they need to ensure their success. Things that make Southern Illinoisans cringe. So, what is your place, the Republicans' place, when you are literally, you know, left out in the South 40? I mean, and I try not to be rude about this. They don't give a what you care, what you want. They don't, anybody else, they don't have to have you. They don't need you. I'm sorry to say it that way. But you get the point. I want to make the point here strongly. They are in control. To hell with what you want or what I want.
Yeah, well, that's partly true. But what happens is this is political. There's a lot of politics that's involved. So what we see over the last couple of days is Governor Pritzker now trying to play the blame game and lay everything back on Rauner, saying that all the debt that we're in, all the problems that we're having, all go back to Rauner. But I'm going to tell you, because we've talked about this before, the debt and, you know, where we're at, even with an increase in our income taxes. But the fact is, we're back at a place, the exact same place we were when Rauner took office. The debt, as far as backlog of bills, is the same. the what we're looking at as far as an unbalanced budget going into the next year is almost exactly the same. So guess what? The new sheriff in town gets to figure out what's going to be cut, or he's going to have to own the tax increases that are going to come. Because so far, the only conversations I'm hearing is where they're going to spend more money and how they're going to increase our taxes.
Right.
So I'll take my hits for the last one because I believed the bills should be paid, but I'm not going to be a party to increasing our debt further and then having to come back and jack up taxes again because they will not stop spending money. So my job is to make sure that that message keeps getting out there.
All right. So fight is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That I expect you to use the F word, fight.
That'll be the only F word I use today.
And so let's talk about Terry's comments just a couple of moments ago about blaming it on Rauner. This is the press release from the governor's office on Friday at 9:37 a.m. And the second paragraph is digging out the Rauner wreckage report. All right. Needs to dig out of the fiscal mess this administration inherited. And the road to recovery begins with Governor Pritzker. But it's basically, this is what Governor Rauner did this state. The state did not get in the situation it was for years. The fighting back got us in the situation that we are. So you can say that at that point. So you just touched on the other item. Senator Schimpf, I believe, told me $4.4 billion budget this year. How are we going to... We're going to need $4 billion. Where are we going to get it? One of the proposals is to increase personal income tax to 5.95%, I believe. I know there's an increase out there floating around. It was also suggested by a political and business group last week. But a personal income tax, is that in our increase? Is that in our future?
It's not. I'm not going to be voting for it. I voted for one to do what I believed was save our university and save us from continuing to go into deeper debt. But right now, what I'm hearing is the Democrat side of the aisle wants to spend more and more and more. Minimum wage, 90 million dollars more per year for the Department of Aging only, caused by the minimum wage increase. And I could go on and on and on about more spending.
Well, Senator Fowler, I think it was $4.8 million for SIU or $4.2 million, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Over the 5 years. So I don't want to have a conversation about increased taxes when the only thing that we're talking about is doing it so that they can spend more money. There are some folks who have indicated to me that they wouldn't mind. Well, they would mind, but they wouldn't balk as much at raising any tax as long as it went to paying the backlog of bills or fixing roads or bridges. But just to do it so that people can buy votes, which is what's happening in Chicago, no one wants to be a part of that. Let's talk about where we're going to cut some spending. No one likes it. It always has to be in the equation. And I don't hear anybody talking about that. Right now, I see Governor Pritzker running around the state talking about how he's going to spend more money and then lay it on the backs of the working people in this state. He has to own that. He's the governor now.
So where does your optimism thermometer reside now? You had been very optimistic. And where does it arrive now? The executive orders and what you've seen presented in the legislature in the first days of the session, where are you?
Well, I'm trying to stay optimistic,
right?
And I'll probably have to let you know in the next interview because the rubber's going to hit the road this week.
Yes.
When the minimum wage bill comes to the House, because there was no negotiation in the Senate, and that's, you know, they are so much in a super minority there that maybe the governor does feel that they are irrelevant. Not so in the House. There is a supermajority of Democrats in the House, but there are also some pretty even-tempered, good-thinking conservative Democrats in the House. If we get a seat at the table, I'll stay optimistic. If we don't get a seat at the table, it'll become very clear that this is take it or leave it. We're going to choke it down your throat. So let's see what happens.
Jerry Costello II, and who else?
Well, I tend to think maybe sometimes we can work with Monica Bristow in the Metro East. Most of the folks that we're going to be able to work with are going to be in downstate.
You are fighting, though. When I read some of these state representatives on the far left, they're socialists.
They're off the chart.
All right. So some messages coming in for you. It says, please tell Terry Bryant, thank you for all of us for the very good information. So that just came in. What has the controlling party been for the 30-plus years? Right? We just talked about that. So people saying, you know, and suddenly it's Rohner's fault.
Hey, when we get
elected.
But
we did have some bills because of him and not payments and late payment fees. So
for
I'm
sure.
not going to be, you know. So this morning, this is going to be, you know, the minimum wage thing. You guys in the House, men and women, go back the 13th.
So we're going to have a lot of work to do, and I want to encourage everyone to watch for when we're doing these town halls. Windhorst and Severin and I are going to continue doing them. We're looking at placement right now for one in Harrisburg, one in Mount Vernon, and then eventually we'll be doing one in Carbondale. But there was some really good things said. It was people came in angry, but they left, I think, feeling like they got their voices heard.
Well, Zanotti coming out and saying, I'm not going to prosecute this. These gun laws passed. I'm not going to prosecute them in Williamson County because they're anti-constitutional.
Well, yeah, you can't keep passing laws that make law-abiding citizens criminals at the same time we're doing reforms in prisons to put people out on the street who are convicted criminals. So we're putting convicted criminals on the street and we're trying to criminalize the law-abiding citizens. That's just not, that's not acceptable. So I appreciate Brandon saying that.
8:43, Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant's going to be a busy week, minimum wage. You'll see some gun legislation votes, I think. And I always get the idea there's going to be a surprise behind curtain number three.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what it is yet, but I got a feeling we're going to find out before the end of the week.
I hope there are no surprises. I hope the surprises that come are that we're able to knock down some of these bad bills.